My name is Marcy Zaroff, and my book is called Eco Renaissance, Co-Creating a Stylish, Sexy, and Sustainable World. The best way to reach me is on my website at marcyzaroff.com, which is with an I, Marcy, M-A-R-C-I, Z-A-R-O-F-F, as in Frank, .com. And then I have an Instagram and Twitter, also at Marcy Zaroff. Facebook, Marcy Zaroff. And of course, the book is available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other major stores.
We're talking today to Marcy Zaroff. What inspired you to undertake writing a book?
You know, I believe that education is really the catalyst that is going to inspire change. I think most people just don't know what they don't know. And, you know, I've spent the last almost 30 years pioneering and trailblazing in the world of sustainable, organic, and conscious products and businesses. And just wanted to share that journey and then embed the book with lots of resources, user-friendly tips and guidance to take people on this journey into this eco-renaissance.
An eco-renaissance, what does that mean? Are we coming into a flowering of the eco-movement, would you say?
Well, if you look at the original Renaissance, it was when we were coming out of the Dark Ages and through collaboration and creativity and, you know, a new form of consciousness and connections and communities that were being built, we were able to transform humanity into another chapter. And I think what we're seeing now is coming out of somewhat of a modern day Dark Ages. There's a lot of political disillusionment and economic and people just trying to grasp when they see all the natural disasters, you know, something that is positive. And so the Renaissance, of course, the word means rebirth, and eco is this awakening that we're all one ecosystem, that we're all interconnected, and that we're also connected to nature. We're part of nature. We have an interdependent relationship with nature, very symbiotic. We breathe out carbon dioxide in nature. The plants and the trees breathe it in, and they breathe out, you know, carbon, oxygen, and we breathe that in. So it's very, we have a very symbiotic relationship. So I think this eco-renaissance is all about making that connection to we are all one, both humanity and nature and all living beings. And then this rebirth that we're kind of finding the light within us and we're starting to shine it and we're starting to activate as humans and transform into a different way of seeing the world. And transparency is really a lever here. It's really been a big part of the eco-renaissance.
I think, though, we really have our work cut out for us, especially in these times that we find ourselves, because it's easy to see when we see just the amount of garbage. We're only one person and like a speck in the universe. How do you think that we personally can make a difference as a consumer toward making it a more sustainable world?
Well, we have the power to vote with our dollars, right? So we can create a collective shift. For instance, you know, when I started in the organic industry, gosh, almost 30 years ago, nobody knew what that word meant. You know, people kind of shunned even the idea of it. It just sounded like there was going to be a lot of sacrifice if they were buying something organic. Today, 83% of American consumers are buying organic food, at least occasionally. So it really is about making conscious products, organic, you know, eco-friendly, sustainable products, making them accessible, making sure they're authentic, and of course, making them affordable so that they can reach the masses. And this isn't some kind of elite movement.
A lot of people just don't think. They just go for the easiest, oh, there it is, I'll put it in my cart as I wheel it around the supermarket or the store. Is that part of what you were thinking?
Yeah, I mean, it's all about choice. And it goes back to education being so important, is that people just don't know what's out there, right? They don't know what to buy. They don't know what brands to look for. They don't know how to read labels properly. You know, I mean, one of the rules of thumb is if you can't pronounce it, you probably shouldn't be putting it in or on your body. You know, and people just take for granted that we are protected by some kind of higher forces, government or whatever it may be. But if you really peel the curtain back and you look at the human and environmental impacts and the chemicals that are embedded in so many of the products and services that we're using, that we're buying and supporting, not knowing that there are choices. So it really comes down to knowing the choices are out there, having access to them, and then understanding the why. Realizing that it's, this whole movement is about no compromise. You know, the Eco-Renaissance, the premise of the book is, through the lens of design, we can change the world. So in food, that's taste. It has to taste great. And then it's, oh, by the way, it's also, you know, farm to table or organic or gluten-free or plant-based or whatever. And in fashion, it has to look great. And then, oh, by the way, you want it to also feel great and do great things in the world. So it has to be ethically made and manufactured using responsible materials and none of the harmful toxins and chemicals that are found in many textiles today. If it's beauty products, it has to function right and it has to smell great. And then, oh, by the way, it's eco-friendly and, you know, and so on. So really each chapter dissects different areas of popular culture and looks at driving with the things that people want, that they're seeking, that they love, that they're excited about, and then layering in, taking them down that rabbit hole of it's better for you, it's healthier for you, it's better for the environment, and it's better for humanity and ultimately future generations.
To insert a little bit of cynicism in here, can you truly live a sustainable lifestyle, do you think, if you don't have the money to support that?
Yeah, and I talk a lot about that in my book. I give a lot of ideas and guidance. So, for instance, in fashion, you know, there's this stigma that it's overpriced and you have to be wealthy to be able to buy, you know, eco fashion, sustainable fashion. But really, you know, some of the best parts of sustainable fashion today are the swaps, the clothing swaps, the rental companies like Rent the Runway, where, you know, you have a monthly fee instead of going out and buying fast fashion or not having new, you know, items in your wardrobe, you can actually rent. There are lots of ways in thrift stores and consignment stores. There's all kinds of businesses that are being born online that are supporting very affordable ways to be conscious. And the same thing with food. I mean, farmers markets and now the farm to table movement and all the, you know, food carts and trucks. I mean, there's so many ways you can cut out a lot of the middlemen and have more efficient, more vertically integrated supply chains, which adds value to products at comparable pricing. So there's lots of ways to live this lifestyle affordably. And that's one of the biggest stigmas of the sustainability movement. Things are moving in the direction now where you're going to start to see more and more accessibility at the mass level at prices that are, you know, close, but certainly not maybe at the ground bottom. But you're paying for the added value.
You look around, you see that there's more obesity now than ever before. I just think we are fighting a battle here.
Yeah, and I think that's part of where the education comes in, so people just can start to better understand what their choices are. And there are a lot of amazing organizations out there right now that have made, you know, it their mission to, you know, make sure that they can access low income areas with, you know, healthier organic options. And there are companies like Thrive Market that are donating a lot of product and memberships to those particular income groups as well.
What do you hope that readers of your book will take away from it?
Because I dive into art, food, beauty, fashion, wellness, and business, my hope is that through any of those areas of popular culture, there will be that spark will light, so that, you know, at somewhere at some point, something that I write will resonate and will strike a chord and will take that person to a place where they say, oh, well, that makes sense. Okay, I'll try that. And then hopefully once they, you know, drink the proverbial Kool-Aid of, wow, that felt good that I made that choice. Yeah. They'll inevitably say, you know, what else, what's next, what more? And it's just planting that seed of consciousness, really, somewhere and somehow.
Well, that was very well said. And we didn't even get into Illumin artists or your influences or any of that.
Well, you know, the beautiful thing is, you know, our culture is somewhat obsessed with, you know, watching what other people are doing, whether it's through magazines or reality TV shows or whatever it is. And so the whole idea of the Illumin artist is I'm going to introduce the reader to 41 amazing people who are living the lifestyle of either conscious businesses or being advocates of you know, a healthier way of being. So it's really about, you know, introducing those people who I call my Illuminatis, because they're mm-hmm. my modern day Michelangelos, and having people just learn about their work. So I do quick little interview tidbits and with tips throughout the book in each chapter.